This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
So China lies to the world, and the world winds up following the advice of the World Health Organization. So many people got it wrong because China lied. What are they really up to? That is the question as we start this hour of nonstop talk. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. I appreciate you being here every day, of course. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. First of all, I want to make this very, very clear. You know, this back and forth blaming of President Trump and this and that, the other thing, has to stop. I want to go on record with a couple facts, okay? So please listen to the whole monologue, if you would. All right, listen to everything I'm going to lay out, okay? I'd appreciate it because I think I'm going to cover pretty much every basis here. We go back to January. The president gives a State of the Union address. And that State of the Union address, the president talks about, we're working with Health and Human Services to make sure the country is prepared for and safe from the coronavirus. Nancy Pelosi's in the background, the vampiric one, licking her fangs and shuffling papers, getting ready to tear up the State of the Union address in dramatic fashion because it's calling it all lies. All right. That's January, the very end of January, beginning of February of this year. Right. The president's State of the Union address. He had just obviously we're going through impeachment. They were all in on impeachment back home in Philadelphia. We were about to go through the whole nonsense of these safe injection sites. Okay, all that's happening. Meanwhile, Senator Tom Cotton's running around telling anybody who would listen, the coronavirus is coming, the coronavirus is coming. Like the Incredible Hulk in Avengers Infinity War, Thanos is coming, Thanos is coming. The coronavirus is coming. It's coming, and we got to do something about it. But people weren't listening because World Health Organization experts were telling our health experts that China was telling them the virus wasn't spreading, couldn't spread by human-to-human transmission. They had it under control. China lies to the world, and millions of people die across the world and get sick, and other people, and thousands die across the world as a consequence of China's lies and cover-ups. And people disappear in China. Millions of people may have gone missing in China. Millions, based on cell phone records. I mean, it's that bad. It's a holocaust of global proportions that the world needs to figure out. Meanwhile, we're being told by a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that this thing is no worse than the cold or the flu, because that's what they were being told by health experts. So it's easy to go play money man and quarterback and say this person was wrong and this person was wrong and that person was wrong. But my point is, I'd like us all to come together as Americans, because so many people on both sides of the aisle got it wrong because we were all lied to by China. And the only person, and I mean the only person who really got it right in all this, is Tom Cotton. Senator Tom Cotton, because he knew that China was lying. He knew that China was full of it. He knew that China would not make all these people just disappear and vanish if this was no big deal. They would not be closing cities. They would not be doing all the things they were doing if this virus was not real. So let's go back then to Morning Joe yesterday. Morning Joe yesterday, when Morning Joe goes after the president now, saying that everybody saw this coming in early January, cut number 9.
Now, we've heard, Zeke Emanuel, that nobody could have seen this coming. The fact is, everybody saw this coming. Everybody saw this coming in early January. So
everybody saw this in early January, okay? Now, Tom Elliott from Grabian on Twitter did an amazing job of breaking this down. This, the first mention of the coronavirus on Morning Joe was January 24th, okay? when an expert said Americans should worry about the flu, not the coronavirus, cut 9B.
So let's bring in Morning Joe medical contributor Dr. Dave Campbell for more on this. Your thoughts, Dr. Dave, on this, you know, explain the severe concern about this outbreak and how worried should Americans be? Should they panic?
Good morning, Mika. No, Americans do not need to panic. The Chinese are already panicking, as they should, because this virus is spreading all through the central parts of China. And it's a new virus. It has never been seen before. So its mechanism of spreading is not quite known yet. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu. We are not out of the flu season. We've already had 15 million cases of the flu in the U.S., 140,000 hospitalizations. 54 children have died, almost as many as have died from the novel coronavirus. And everybody's not vaccinated yet. Even if you get vaccinated and get the flu, it lowers the complication rate from the flu. So,
first time that they start talking about it on MSNBC was the end of January, and it's about the flu, okay? What were most people in conservative media doing at the time? Most were saying the exact same thing. Yeah, this is like the flu, this is like the cold, no big deal, don't worry about it, because that's what the health experts were saying. So were they really at fault for that? I mean, can you really blame somebody who's a layman, who's not a medical expert, when medical experts are going on TV and saying, worry about the flu, not the coronavirus? In fact, the first time that Joe Scarborough ever offered any kind of commentary on the coronavirus, February 26th, about 2 months after he said everybody was talking about it. Cut 9C.
So Dr. Dave was just talking about people restricting what they did socially. This business leader I spoke with last night, he's got a global company, said, think about how it's going to impact you. If this continues and the government's not talking straight, are you going to go on airplanes as much as usual? Are you going to go in movie theaters? Are you going to go? I mean, all of these events. And so we're talking about the supply chain that it's going to impact in China, but it's going to impact our daily lives here in America if this crisis continues, which will have a huge economic hit.
Remember, Joe Scarborough said yesterday that by early January, everyone saw this coming. Everyone saw this coming, right? Now, Democrats are horrible at giving advice on the coronavirus. A little montage that Grabian put together of these various elected officials, including, and I've played all of them on the show in the past, Bill de Blasio, Nancy Pelosi, and others, talking about why the coronavirus is no big deal, why you shouldn't worry about it. And when you think about this now, again, remind yourself, these individuals are now turning around and saying that Donald Trump should have done this, Donald Trump should have done that, Donald Trump should have done A, B, C, and D. Remind yourself of that. Cut number two.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low.
And our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
But there's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are a hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life.
And certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm gonna be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people. With the American people about the fact that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right, because this is New York and you're in elevators
exactly,
and trains with everybody all the time.
That various montage of elected officials and health commissioners, et cetera. The only one missing from there is Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, who went down to Chinatown. We played this on the show a couple days ago. Went down to Chinatown in February to eat shrimp dumplings with the health commissioner. And the health commissioner of Philadelphia turned around and said, the flu is way more of a problem and way worse than the coronavirus. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was also lecturing yesterday about how this is all on Donald Trump. Donald Trump did nothing. There are two cuts that I sent over. So, Bill, let's play the one of her from most recently saying that this is all Trump's fault, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, like, it just drives me nuts that there are these journalists that are out there that are just like assessing the president's tone of his voice instead of what he's actually saying. And what he's actually saying is that he's conveying an epic level of negligence and incompetence that is costing human lives. And it's not just Trump. It is not just Trump. Look at DeSantis in Florida, who's just calling for lockdowns today, and Florida beaches have been packed. And these aren't people that are just in Florida. These are people that are traveling to Florida, spreading disease, and traveling back to wherever they came from. And these people aren't taking it seriously. You've got folks in Alabama saying this isn't California. Well, it's not California because California went into lockdown, and now you're risking your own people's lives.
This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from just a couple of weeks ago, February 23rd, I believe it was. Take a listen.
Honestly, it sounds almost so silly to say, but there's a lot of restaurants that are feeling the pain of racism, where people are literally not patroning Chinese restaurants. They're not patroning Asian restaurants because of just straight up racism around the coronavirus.
In other words, everybody was getting it wrong, and now everybody wants to go back and rewrite history and pretend like everybody saw this coming and knew it was coming and should have been right about it. We were told by Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, that buffoon. We were told by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who ripped up the speech that contained the part about warning Americans about the coronavirus. We were told by her weeks later, come to Chinatown and come to the parade. We were told this by the New York City Health Commissioner, the San Francisco Health Commissioner, the Philadelphia Health Commissioner. We were told this by members of Congress. We were told this by governors. We were told this by talking heads on television. Medical experts like Ezekiel, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel. So when a lot of us were going around going, it's not going to be that bad. Come on, flu's worse. Can you blame anybody who was saying that? No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because unless you're a doctor and you were taking the time to do your own independent research and you still, I can't blame you still, because doctors rely on something called data more than anything. You know, I was first getting started in radio years ago, and Dr. Maz was my my mentor and coaching me along the way and helping me break into the business. Dr. Maz always used to talk about, what's the data say? You know, what's the data say? You look at politics, you look at this, because medicine's the same way. What does the data say? The problem is the data we were getting from China was the wrong data. China was lying to the world, and China was hiding their deaths. China was hiding the infections. China was hiding all of this, and that is the problem. So nobody could really understand the severity of the coronavirus except Tom Cotton was smart enough to figure out, look, China's lying, and they would not be doing X, Y, and Z unless this virus was really, really bad. So we need now to do something about it. But everybody else was relying on health experts who were looking at what? Data. What was the data they were relying on? Data provided to them by the World Health Organization, which was provided to the World Health Organization by China. And the World Health Organization is going out there and saying to everybody, everything's fine. It's fine. China says it's fine. Very little risk of human transmission. What China did to the world, we can never forget. I say this every day. We can never forget. But now I have another question for you, and it's this. Is China looking to start World War III? And before you go, wait a second, don't get crazy on us here. Asia Times has a story. China seizes COVID-19 advantage in the South China Sea. China ramps up military drills and energy exploitation in contested waterway while the U.S. military is bogged down in the virus crisis at home. Last night, I'm doing the 5 o'clock show, And which is always a pleasure to be with you in the afternoon for that hour as we take take calls and talk to you and stuff. I enjoy it very much. But I try to dip in and out of the presidential briefing. So last night's briefing, at first I was kind of like, I don't really understand the point of this. They're talking about the drug war, and I was kind of like, I don't know. So anyway, this is from last night's briefing of the president and the team. They brought out the defense secretary, Esper. They bring out a general. They bring out the attorney general, and they're talking about the war on drugs. I want to play the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley. Okay, cut 11.
Thank you, Secretary, for those words, and thank you, Mr. President, for your leadership. And I want to publicly thank Admiral Craig Fowler, the commander of U.S. Southern Command out of Miami, for leading this operation, which is underway effective today. And also Admiral Gilday, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Schultz, for their contributions to this from their services. There's thousands of sailors, Coast Guardsmen, soldiers, airmen, Marines involved in this operation. We came upon some intelligence some time ago that the drug cartels, as a result of COVID-19, were going to try to take advantage of the situation and try to infiltrate additional drugs into our country. As we know, the 70,000 Americans die on an average annual basis to drugs. That's unacceptable. We're at war with COVID-19, we're at war with terrorists, and we are at war with the drug cartels as well. This is the United States military. You will not penetrate this country. You will not get past Jump Street. You're not going to come in here and kill additional Americans. And we will marshal whatever assets are required to prevent your entry into this country to kill Americans. So right now, the Navy has marshaled additional Greyhound ships from both PACOM and UCOM and for the Naval Fleet at Norfolk. And they are set sail already, and they are in the Caribbean right now. In addition to that, there's 10 Coast Guard cutters and their Special Operations Forces and Security Force Assistance Brigades, along with Air Force reconnaissance aircraft. The bottom line is you're not going to get through. Now is not the time to try to penetrate the United States with illegal drugs to kill Americans. With the United States military, we will defend our country regardless of the cost.
Wow. I mean, sounds like those drug cartels, they're really powerful, huh? We got to send the whole Navy down there after them. Interesting, right? Secretary of Defense Mark Esper last night at the president's briefing on the coronavirus, talking about enhanced operations to go after the drug cartels, cut 12.
These enhanced counter-narcotics operations that are now underway will further disrupt the flow of illicit drugs to America, deny our adversaries the financial resources they depend on, and build the capacity of our partner nations throughout the region. I want to thank President Trump for his leadership and support to this critical mission. This is a particularly important time for this operation to begin. As nations around the world shift their focus inward to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, many criminal organizations are attempting to capitalize on this crisis. The enhanced operations we are announcing today will keep the pressure on these criminal groups and protect the American people from the devastation caused by the flow of illegal drugs into our country. Mr. President, thank you for your leadership as we begin this important operation. While the men and women of the United States military work hard here at home to fight the coronavirus, we continue to take action around the world to defend our great country.
Now, obviously, if we had reason to believe that China might be looking to start World War III, we can't come out at a briefing and let China know that we're on to them and we're ready for them. But we got to let China know that we're on to them and we're ready for them. So how do we do that? Sounds to me like you do that by threatening drug cartels and sending the Navy and everybody else to the Southern Hemisphere to get ready to defend the United States of America. China, right now, back to this Asia Times article. While some see China's nationalistic messaging as a bid to rally its people during difficult COVID-19 times, others view the increasingly aggressive naval maneuvers as a bid to exploit America's weakened condition to secure new advantage in the hotspot theater. Rival Southeast Asian claimants are also in compromised strategic position as they contend with worsening COVID-19 outbreaks. The Philippines and Malaysia, both the territorial loggerheads with China in the sea, have both recently played their administrative and commercial capitals under weeks-long military enforced lockdowns. There's no question in my mind that we want to stop the flow of illegal drugs into the country, but, you know, that's usually a Coast Guard function. When the Rear Admiral stands up at a presidential briefing and starts talking about how the naval fleets are leaving Norfolk to go down to the Southern Hemisphere to fight drug cartels, we don't typically fight naval battles with drug cartels. But you know who else was watching that briefing last night, right? You know who else was paying attention to that presidential briefing? Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte and top security officials, including Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana, are in self-imposed quarantines with armed forces of the Philippines and General Felimon Santos Jr. recently testing positive for COVID-19. The U.S., the long-term guarantor of the region's law-based order, is now grappling with the world's worst outbreak, with nearly 190,000 cases, forcing the White House to implement extraordinary measures, including the largest economic stimulus package in history. The Pentagon, meanwhile, this is AsiaTimes.com, has been mobilized to help combat the epidemic under the Defense Production Act. China's bid to opportunize on the COVID-19 crisis, which originated in Wuhan, has been on display in multiple fronts. On one hand, Beijing has launched a concerted attempt to reshape the pandemic's narrative, including the bizarre suggestion by top Chinese officials that the U.S. military planted the virus in China. This has gone hand in hand with efforts to drive a diplomatic wedge between the United States and its traditional transatlantic allies, some of which have recently committed naval vessels to U.S.-led freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea. China has bid to highlight the U.S.'s perfunctory travel ban on European visas in affected nations while it provided desperately needed medical equipment to worst-hit nations such as Italy and Spain, a gambit some are referring to as Beijing's face mask diplomacy. While trumpeting itself as a global leader at a time of crisis, Beijing is pressing ahead in expanding its strategic and economic footprints in the South China Sea. According to China's Ministry of Natural Resources, China recently conducted its most successful extraction of natural gas from gas hydrates, both in terms of volumes and productions, within a single day in a contested northern region of the sea. And it goes on to talk about China's energy developments, the People's Liberation Army. China's People Liberation Army has also flexed its naval muscles in the area through recent military drills led by the country's first aircraft carrier, the Liaoning. Those followed in aircraft carrier-led drills in the northern portions of the South China Sea. Under difficult sea conditions in the early spring, multiple J-15 fighter jets took off from the flight deck and successfully landed several hours later, indicating the success of the technique rehabilitation training for instructors at Naval Aviation University. China's mouthpiece media has gone so far as to portray its latest sea exercise as part of fighting the pandemic. An aircraft carrier is a large warship with many people concentrated in its cabins, making it vulnerable to infectious diseases. Being able to successfully conduct related missions indicated that this aircraft carrier has done a great job in controlling the epidemic, said Beijing-based naval expert to the state-sponsored portal Global Times. Now, think about this aspect of it as well. The United States Navy's 7th Fleet announced that its Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer, the USS Barry, conducted its own live drills in recent days, launching a missile in the South China Sea while conducting freedom of navigation operations in the Western Pacific. You know what I think? I think yesterday's press conference about the war on drugs was entirely a show to let China know we're ready if they try anything. This wasn't about the cartels. The problem is we can't go out there and say it's about China because we need China right now. We are in this very weird position where they've got a gun to our head over a barrel and we need them to save our lives because they make all the stuff that we need to save our lives. And so because of that fact, we have to basically now go out there and kiss their Chinese butts while we hope that they will get us what we need because of the supply chain. Now, while in the background, they're working to make sure that that's no longer an issue by using the Defense Production Act and having all these companies step up production of things that we vitally need to fight COVID-19. Meanwhile, the president just gets this idea in his head, you know what? Got to really focus on the war on drugs right now and got to get the military involved in the war on drugs right now at this moment.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
And just to close the loop on this, I want to just quickly share with you, William Gensert wrote this piece. He's a military expert for theamericanthinker.com. China is preparing to start a war with America. And he talks about how, if you look at the actions of what China's been doing, he writes this: I believe China's actions today may be telegraphing an intent we are choosing to ignore. They show all the signs of a nation preparing to attack America. China sees a bespoke world run by China with Chinese characteristics, a dream that under Donald Trump was drifting away. China appears to be laying the groundwork for a justified attack on the United States, perhaps in the South China Sea or perhaps elsewhere. It'll be a military attack, not an act of terrorism, and the excuse will be America's deliberate transmission of COVID-19 in Wuhan. When the Chinese became accusatory, it's telling that they didn't blame the CIA. They blamed American soldiers. They said American military deliberately infected China, and they called it an act of war. And everybody knows, of course, that would be worthy of a military response. In October of 2019, World Military Games were held in Wuhan. Chinese media triumphantly trumpeted the Americans winning just 8 medals, while China won 239. It was then that we supposedly infected Wuhan citizens with the American virus. China is now sending home foreign media, reporters from the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the Washington Post, at just the opportune moment. No nation wants journalists around when it's planning a sneak attack. With the economy ravaged by Trump's trade war, China's economy, and the virus shutdown, and now back at full production while America's economy is in total shutdown and in the grip of an active pandemic, there's never a better time for China. So I'm just pointing all of these things out to you and just saying that, you know, we got to be very, very careful here. And I think that's what I think yesterday was about. The good news is that I think that the president and the military realize that China is up to something very, very bad here. And I also think that they need to find a way to let the world know that we know without letting China know so bluntly that they say we're cutting off your supply chains. Because China's in this also weird position where they want to make sure they're the good guys right now because their economy is in the absolute toilet, and so they still need people to buy their stuff. So they're in this really strange place as well. But China's got a lot of problems, and they want world domination. And I'm just saying, there's a lot going on here that we need to pay attention to. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let me go to Larry. He's in Philadelphia. Larry, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Rich. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I hope you and your staff are well.
We're doing well. We're hanging in there. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for your show. I'll tell you, it's not only entertaining, but at least we get some perspective from the right here because this is getting ridiculous. It's so depressing to watch the news all day. But I have a question about the briefings, the Trump briefings. Would it be inappropriate? I know they're going to use your montage that you were playing earlier for, you know, maybe for the campaign ads and things like that. But the next time one of these gotcha questions come up from the press, how about if they just, Trump says, well, here's my answer. He plays the montage behind him because he has such a following of these briefings that maybe people see for, you know, once and for all that, you know, this is such a political game with the Democrats that, you know, it's not just him or the Republicans saying that, you know, he did what he had to do promptly, but that, you know, the Democrats were saying the same thing. Would it be inappropriate for him to play that?
I don't think so. No, I mean, they play maybe at the briefing it would, because I know he really wants to try to rise above politics at these briefings. But I don't see any reason why the Trump campaign on Twitter couldn't put it out or the president couldn't tweet it out himself, you know. But what I like about what he's trying to do with these briefings now is he's trying to be it's like the fireside chats, you know, and he wants to really rise above partisan politics. So I don't think he would do it there, but I think they should put it out there without question. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to make that suggestion to them too.
Yeah. And I think the reason the channels are talking about, you know, the liberal news media is talking about not putting him on is because he's becoming more and more effective every day. And that's why I said, if he did it during the briefing with the exposure that he has to the public there, it will maybe shut him up for once in a while.
Yeah, no, I understand, but you know, nothing's ever going to shut him up, though. That's really the truth. That's honestly the reality of the situation, Larry. Hey, buddy, thank you very much. Stay safe, my friend. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. 855-839-1210. All right, let me just shift gears for a second because I got to go to Cuomo, the governor of New York. He says we're never going to be the same again, and I want to ask if you agree with that assessment that we're never going to be the same, that we're not going to get back to normal. This is the governor of New York, Don Cuomo, cut number 8.
As a society, beyond just this immediate situation, we should start looking forward to understand how this experience is going to change us or how it should change us, because this is going to be transformative. It is going to be transformative on a personal basis, on a social basis, on a systems basis, we're never going to be the same again. We're not going to forget what happened here. The fear that we have, the anxiety that we have, that's not just going to go away. When do we get back to normal? I don't think we get back to normal. I think we get
back. All right, let's stop it right there, by the way. Do we agree? Is that true? Do you think we never get back to normal, Dawn? We just never, this is it?
I don't know. I think he's probably referring to 9/11, that nothing was the same after 9/11. But I think that this is different. So, I think we'll all be more health and safety minded. But I disagree that we can't go back to our lives, to work. But I do think we'll be more considerate when we're sick, stay home, covering up when coughing or sneezing, that sort of thing.
And never shake a hand again.
Yeah, that'll be interesting with the handshaking.
We'll do some bowing. Do a lot of bowing.
Or
right?
Mwah, mwah, the French air kiss,
It could spread within 6 feet. Now they're saying even more than 6 feet, you should distance yourself. They were talking about that last night, too. So I don't know if you can do the kiss. Can you do the kiss?
Yeah. Yeah, if you do like a little mwah, mwah, air kiss. Now, you're not kissing. It's like an air. It's like you turn your, It's in the air.
When do we get back to normal? I don't think we ever get back to normal. Why is he answering his own questions? Why is he asking and answering his own questions now? That's the other thing I want to know.
Well,
what is that?
He can talk. This guy can talk
for hours.
On. Yeah,
hours. He loves the sound of his own voice. Loves it. We're never going to be the same. Who wants to know? I want to know. Are we going to be the same again? I'll answer my own question. We're never going to be the same again. Forget about it. It's a fugazi.
Well, Greg Stocker and I are glad for some of these things, as far as, we've always believed that people need to be more germ conscious.
Yeah, but I don't know. I go back to the old George Carlin bit. Germs are how our immune system built up, When this is over, maybe we all got to take a nice dip in the Schuylkill and the Hudson River and build up our immunity again,
I don't know. But Schuylkill, this whole, I would be curious if George Carlin were here today with us, God rest his soul. What he would, the bat, you got bats and you got penguins and exotic animals. I don't know.
Well, there should be, I think, as the new normal should be this. Ready? Don't eat freaking bats. That's the new normal.
Exactly.
Don't eat bats.
That's PETA came out with. I should have done the story like a week ago. And they were like, the only good out of this is maybe people will stop eating bats and rare exotic animals.
I agree with PETA for once. vegans are loving this. They're like, we told you eating meat was the problem. I'm like, yeah, no, but eating bats, it's not just meat. It's the bat meat that's the problem. You know what I mean? Like, a cow didn't start this. This is a bat, a freaking bat.
Yeah.
The horseshoe bat or something like that.
Yeah.
The Beyond Bat is hitting the market now in China. It's doing great. Beyond Bat.
It's
love
sane.
It. It's a sin. It's highly processed. All right, continue playing Don Cuomo. In fact, to back it up a little bit for me, Bill, if you would, when he asks and answers his own question, I'd appreciate that.
We're never going to be the same again. We're not going to forget what happened here. The fear that we have, the anxiety that we have, that's not just going to go away. When do we get back to normal? I don't think we get back to normal. I think we get back, or we get to a new normal, right? Like we're seeing so many facets of society right now.
I hate that term, by the way, new normal. Don't you hate that? It's one of those cliches. The new normal. This is our new normal.
Yeah.
Larry David did a PSA. He wants everybody to. Now, Larry David's a genius in all this. Of all the people, for years he's been saying, stop shaking hands. Guy's a freaking genius. Him and Tom Cotton, the two of them, are the only two people that called this right. For years, Larry David said, stop shaking hands. And Tom Cotton said China was up to something. The two of them. Larry David, how many years ago was it on Curb Your Enthusiasm when he stopped shaking hands? Was that season 5?
I don't
even know.
It's a while ago.
Right, season 4?
Yeah, it was early on in the show, from what I remember.
Yeah, and also how he was the first guy to start socially distancing by wearing the MAGA hat so nobody would come near him.
That was one of the best bits he's done in a long time. Because I wasn't the biggest fan of Curbs, not this most recent season, the season prior to that. That was genius.
He starts wearing a Make America Great Again hat so people don't go near him. He's the original social distancer, Larry David. I mean, that episode is hilarious. You got to watch it, especially the guy on the motorcycle. You know, and Larry David cuts him off, and the guy, like, wants to fight him, and he sees the MAGA hat, and he's like, all right, just drive safe. Just keeps going. This is Larry David with his PSA, cut 10.
Hello, I'm Larry David. Obviously, somebody put me up to this.
Why is it so low, the volume? Can we spike it up?
The kind of thing I do, but I basically want to address the idiots out there, and you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright, but here it is. Go home, watch TV. That's my advice to you. You know, if you've seen my show, nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and you know, don't see anyone, except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency. Let the plumber in, and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it.
Oh, that reminds me. I'm changing a toilet today after the show. I'm going to do that by myself.
No, you should not do that.
I'm definitely doing it.
No, you should definitely.
Definitely going to do
what
it.
Do you mean,
please
what
videotape.
Do you mean you're changing a toilet?
You know what? Our bathroom upstairs, the kids' bathroom, it's all yellow. You know, it's that, like, 1970s yellow, the tile, the everything. So I bought a new toilet online, and I'm going to swap out the old yellow toilet with a new toilet.
They're not easy to put in, dude.
Take out the old one, put the new one in. What's so hard?
Oh, and there's like a seal. If you mess with that seal, around the wax seal thing, and you bust that up, it's a mess.
And it could go through the ceiling.
What could possibly go wrong? This
be a hot mess.
Crazy. Yeah. Come on.
Please get Bridget to videotape.
When there's plumbing involved, I would definitely hire an expert.
Yeah, YouTube. Yep. I got the YouTube.
No. You can get a plumber for emergency services.
Putting in a toilet during a pandemic is not an emergency.
Well, kind of is. I mean, look at the toilet paper situation.
Well, that's true. I'm only changing it for style, though, not for function. It does still work.
Oh, don't touch it.
By the way, Larry David gave that PSA. Bernie Sanders then was on The View yesterday with Whoopi Goldberg confronting him about why he's still running for the race. A good time to play back-to-back, I think, from Larry David to Bernie Sanders. Why not? Take a listen. The one that says Bernie Sanders in it?
I think it's cut 3, Bill.
Cut 3. Whoopi Goldberg 3.
And I'm told that you intend to stay in this race for president because you believe there is a path to victory. I want to know what that path is, because this feels a little bit like it did when you didn't come out when Hillary Clinton was clearly the person folks were going for. So can you explain why you're still in the race and what this path is that you see?
One of the reasons, but that's not quite accurate. I worked as hard as I could to for Hillary Clinton. But the reason there is a path.
Bernie, could you imagine if our new, by the way, stop it for a quick second. Could you imagine if our new normal is having to listen to people do these horrible audio interviews where they can't even make sense and the video's terrible? We got to watch weather people in their house, in their basement. Like, if that's the new normal, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm out. I can't take this. The audio quality is terrible. What is Bernie using for this? Literally a megaphone calling into The View? Is that what he's using?
Skype.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I can't even understand a word he's saying. This is everywhere now. You turn on TV, they bring on all these people, and whatever it is, the audio's terrible, the video quality's terrible. We got to watch these people in their basement, you know, and they don't get dressed up. And come on, man, it's a TV show. All right, keep going.
For Hillary Clinton. But the reason There is
Just so we're clear, you worked for Hillary, but it took you a very, very long time to hop in. And your people also, it took a very long time for them to hop in. So Whoopi, when I say that, that's what I'm talking about.
Whoopi.
Yeah, well, I...
You know, the problem is that he can't really, like, as he's yelling, there's a delay or something. So his you know, whoopee, and it takes a while to get back to the studio over Skype to get into her ears. He's trying to, you know, whoopee. Oh, man. She's making a good point, though. Why the hell are you still running? By the way, is there even a race to run for at this point? Joe Biden's in his basement. Bernie's in his basement. Grumpy old men go to the basement. That's the new movie coming out.
Stop.
Grumpy old men on the basement, in the basement. This is amazing. I mean, honestly, truly, if this is our new America where we got to listen to presidential candidates in their basement, give speeches, give their addresses, we can't survive. There's no way we'll be able to survive this. You know what I mean? Come on. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, well, I don't accept that characterization, but the point is,
okay,
people have a right.
Why are you still in the democracy race?
People have a right. Last I heard, people in a democracy have a right to vote, and they have a right to vote for the agenda that they think can work for America, especially in this very, very difficult moment. We are assessing our campaign, as a matter of fact, where we want to go forward.
You're sitting where? Sitting where?
I'm sitting in my house right now. I'm not holding a rally in Wisconsin because of the nature of campaigns. But right now, what I am primarily focusing on with other members of the Congress is a new what we call a coronavirus 4 stimulus package, which will guarantee that every worker in America continues to receive his or her paycheck.
All right. I can't. You know, listen, here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. And I have the Secretary of Energy coming up a little bit later in the show. But here's the problem with this whole idea with Bernie. He's in his basement. Joe Biden's in his basement. They can't get any momentum. They can't get any traction right now. So all they can do is just go on whoever will have them. Do you realize that right now? They'll go on any show that will have them to just be on something. I saw last night, I think it was Joe Biden was doing, I believe it was the Home Shopping Network or QVC. They did an interview with him.
It's true.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yes.
And then for Bernie, he's got to go on there and explain how he's still running for president. How are you running for president at this point? You're in your basement. Which house? That's the only question that should be asked. Which one of your four palatial Vermont estates, Senator, are you hiding in right now? That's an undisclosed location. Whoopee. Oh, man. There is still a presidential race going on. You wouldn't even know it, but there is. And, Joe Biden, that guy, this is a mess. This whole thing's a mess. Now they're talking about having mail-in ballots in November, no voting in public. Mail-in ballots for everybody. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that, right? What could possibly go wrong? 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. All right, let us check in with Dawn this morning on this it's sunny, beautiful Thursday morning.
Yeah, it is bright sun. It feels good.
Mapping out where my above-ground pool's going to go.
The blow-up pool. Good morning.
I should get a blow-up toilet, too.
Oh, no. That would be a bad idea.
No. Okay.
Good morning. 42 degrees. This is Yoli Show News. Governor Tom Wolf announcing he expanded the footprint of the quarantine to include the entire state. So all Pennsylvania residents must stay home by the governor's order as much as possible to help slow the spread of COVID-19, the coronavirus. So Wolf adding 34 counties to his existing stay-at-home order, meaning residents of all 67 of PA's counties are now asked to stay put unless you have a legit reason to go out. And the expanded order took effect last night, 8 o'clock, and goes through at least April 30th. All schools closed, quote unquote, indefinitely. The same really is for New Jersey. New Jersey's in a tougher spot, obviously. They've seen a spike in COVID-19 cases, 22,000. And that spike happened within the last 24 hours. The death toll doubling this week, climbing to 355. So Jersey obviously feeling the effects of being a neighbor to New York City, which is New York is the, you know, epicenter of this whole thing. So we're seeing New Jersey, you know, the pleas coming out from the governor, from local officials, for people to please, please abide by these social distancing rules to keep people safe and stop the spread. In Pennsylvania, a story that went viral is that the state's liquor control board is now allowing sales online. Great announcement, but within minutes yesterday, the website finewineandgoodspirits.com crashed.
Shocking.
Due to overwhelming demand. So there's a big, if you go to the site, there's a big sign that comes up and says, we're working on it. So customers will be limited to purchasing up to 6 bottles per transaction. All orders have to be shipped to your home or a non-store address. Obviously, the stores are closed, but they'll have it up, they say.
So here's the thing, though. How long does it take to get your booze?
Well, they say the average shipping time is 2 to 3 days, but it's a backlog.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, that doesn't work. Just drive to Jersey and buy your booze, and that's the best thing you can do right now. I'm serious.
Well, that's the problem. Everybody's been driving to Jersey, which, first of all, you're not supposed to do with the social distancing rules. But then on top of it, those stores are selling out.
Right.
And so, that's been a big thing. As the weather warms up, and next week we'll be in the 70s, it's going to be supposedly a beautiful week next week. A lot of the kids, because it's Easter and Passover, so the kids are on spring break from school. And a reminder from elected officials at the Jersey Shore, they say stay away, even if you own a seasonal shore home. So the beaches and boardwalks, there are big pictures online, they're all barricaded with big signs that say these are closed for your health and safety. Yes. And so full-time residents, they're trying to be, they're saying, look, we're complying, but they're speaking out a lot saying, look, we're full-time residents. We sure wish we could walk on the beach.
They should be allowed to walk on the beach. There's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to walk on the beach. This is stupid. This is Phil Murphy's power trip is what this is.
It's interesting because in Philadelphia for weeks now, MLK Drive, for example, has all been shut down to traffic, and they're encouraging in the city of Philadelphia that residents, get out, get some fresh air, walk, exercise, keep healthy while keep social distancing. So it's interesting that in the Philadelphia region, MLK, shut down to traffic, encouraging people to get out.
Let me tell you something. Do you know why he closed the beaches, Dawn?
Why?
Sharks. That's why. Not viruses. Stop. Unless the virus comes from the water. There's no reason to shut down the beaches. It's a freaking power trip this guy's on.
Well, gun sales have been skyrocketing. The FBI report just came out in the nation. And Rizzioli has talked a lot about this with gun stores, and they're selling out. And that sort of, the FBI reports that in March alone, there were 3.7 million gun purchase background checks.
Good.
It's a 41% hike.
Good.
And I thought it was interesting because
if the Chinese ever invade us, we all got to do our part. I'm serious.
Everybody's got a gun. And the final thing I'll say is NASA reporting skyrocketing numbers as well. 12,000 people applying to be part of NASA's next graduating class. I thought that was kind of cool. Dolly Parton donating $1 million to coronavirus research. So some little good news stories there.
Hey, that is good. I was also thinking about this too.
What?
That a lot of these, there are people just doing great things all over the place. I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. He had on this woman. What they do is they buy takeout meals from restaurants, and then they deliver them to doctors and nurses and other medical workers.
That's so great.
Isn't that great?
Helps the restaurants, helps the medical workers. Tucker, he has some good guests, but the way he stares into the camera.
I know, it's weird, right?
It's
almost like there's a delay for him to process what he's hearing, or he can't believe what he's hearing. I watch Tucker Carlson, and I think every time he just can't believe the answer that the person just gave him.
I know.
Every time, even when he agrees with him, because he'll look at him with that stare, and then he goes, well, I really hope you're right. I'm like, well, do you agree?
It's bizarre. I don't know if he's on meds or too much Botox. I'm not sure.
But. It's like there's a delay. Like, I want to just, can you, I don't know. By that same observation last night as I'm watching.
That's a sin to say. We love you, Tucker. Just kidding.
I love the guy's brilliant guy.
Great
I really
guy.
Enjoy his show. And he was the one that drove to Mar-a-Lago to tell the president how serious this virus was. So people owe Tucker a debt of gratitude too, but. It was funny because he had this. Did you see the segment he had on this Democrat congressman? He was asking him about in Seattle. We never played the audio of this yesterday. It's my fault. But the police there put out this PSA saying, we're responding to only 911 emergencies and also racism. So if somebody says a racist comment, call 911. and we'll come in Seattle, right? So Tucker brings on this Democrat congressman to ask him about it. And the guy just starts doing the talking points about, we got to just fight COVID-19. He completely dodges the question. And watching Tucker's face, the contortions that his face is doing as he's listening to the Democrat congressman, and he lets him go on for a while. And I'm going, dude, jump in here at some point. You know what I mean? But it was amazing. But he finally got the Democrat congressman to admit that the mayor of Seattle's police chief is not being helpful by sending her cops to arrest people who say racist, mean things in the time of a national pandemic. So that was good.
Yeah. Just videotape them and shame them online for now, right? Hey, the first alert, NBC 10 weather forecast today, 57 degrees, partly sunny tomorrow, 55, partly cloudy. So we have this pattern of mid-50s, partly sunny weather. The best day is Sunday, 63, partly sunny. I'm Dawn Zilli, Show News, radio.com.
Thank you, Dawn. By the way, I should mention to you that as a result of the COVID-19 issue, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration today released a guidance document. Temporary policy regarding nutrition labeling of standard menu items in chain restaurants and similar retail food establishments during the COVID-19 public health emergency. It is temporary flexibility for these restaurants who have to normally list every ounce of sodium and fat and all the other nonsense they got to list under the BS laws and rules. So they have temporary flexibility, I guess, to not list all of it. FDA regulations require that restaurants and similar retail food establishments that are part of a chain with 20 or more locations doing business under the same name must list the nutrition information for standard menu items. However, the FDA is aware that some of these covered establishments are temporarily changing business practices. For example, some dining operations are switching to takeout only, which may require changes in online ordering and printed menus, because calorie information is required to be declared for standard menu items when a consumer makes a selection. Establishments may have difficulty providing this information during a rapid transition to a takeout business practice. Additionally, some of these establishments may be experiencing temporary disruptions in the food supply chain, which may lead to different menus or substitutions that could affect the accuracy of the nutrition information. To provide flexibility to these chains covered by menu labeling requirements, the FDA will not object if establishments do not meet menu labeling requirements during the public health emergency. That's good. Very good.
Yeah. The only thing they have to say is allergies, you know, to make sure somebody has a nut allergy.
There we go.
but they should, because you don't want to make the doctor sick.
Right. Right. Of course. No, you don't. It's true. It's very, very true. By the way, I should mention that social media is blowing up. The Zioli Army is making serious fun of me for changing the toilet and then bringing up the oil incident.
Yeah.
So I can't live that. I'll never live that down.
You'll never live that down.
Very quickly, before I get to the energy secretary, the president was asked yesterday why he's not doing a national lockdown, which I'm glad he's not doing. It doesn't need to. It also asked why he's not taking the power away from the governors. The truth is he doesn't have the power to do so. But here's the president's answer. Cut 13.
Not every governor has issued a stay-at-home order. All of you have made it very clear how important it is to stay home, that we are in a dire situation here. And that's how you stop the spread, is staying home.
Sure.
Why not take the power out of the hands of the governors and you just issue a stay-at-home order for every
state in this country? States are different, and I understand that Governor of Florida, great governor, Ron DeSantis, issued one today. And that's good. That's great. But there are some states that are different. There are some states that don't have much of a problem. There are some, well, they don't have the problem. They don't have thousands of people that are positive, or thousands of people that even think they might have it, or hundreds of people in some cases. So you have to look. You have to look at states. You have to give a little bit of flexibility. But if a state in the Midwest, or if Alaska, as an example, doesn't have a problem, it's awfully tough to say close it down. So we have to have a little bit of flexibility. Look, we're helping governors. We're really here to help governors. They're the front line of attack, and that includes in purchasing. By the way, we're here and we're backing them up.
Yeah, exactly right. The president is. I mean, it's such a defender of the concept of federalism. The federal government's there to help. And by the way, if he tried to overrule a governor, how's he going to do that exactly? Is he going to federalize the National Guard in the state and then have the National Guard go arrest the governor and the state police? I mean, the president is handling this right. The governors are in charge. Unfortunately, our governors never took the advice they were offered at the national governor's meeting and prepared for this. And that's why we are in many ways in the situation we're in. But we don't have to go with the blame game. We can just move forward because ultimately, at the end of the day, so many people got it wrong because China lied to the world.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.